Can you preach for that?
You bet. I want to talk to you about praying for others. A lot of times we know some details, and we pray for those details. But other times we don't know what's going on in people's lives, so we're hesitant to pray. What do I pray about? I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they need. So we're going to talk about that this morning a little bit, how to pray for others. And if you have a notepad, I suggest you write down these three points that I gave you toward the latter part of this message. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. While I'm trying to get my breath back.
Take time.
Colossians chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 9, and I want to read this together. Can we do that? This is in the New King James Version. Read this with me. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. God. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Joy is the word today. Joy. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Wow. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. This is a powerful message. Powerful message in this Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Okay, I want to talk today on the subject of prayer, especially the idea of praying for yourself and for others. There's nothing as simple and yet at times as complex and confusing as prayer. When we consider prayer in its simplest form, it is communication that goes on between a human being and the Lord God Almighty. Everybody got that? Prayer is like a conversation that happens between a child and their parent, or between two people who are desiring a deeper love relationship. We in the church tend to complicate things when it comes to praying. All you have to do is Google the word prayer on the internet, or begin to examine the different books that have been written about prayer to realize that you could get lost in this whole idea of praying. Literally billions of pages, thousands of website articles and podcasts have been written and centered around the subject of prayer. Many of these have been written and spoken about the correct language of prayer, the correct posture of prayer, the correct timing of prayer, the correct spirit of prayer. Now, none of those ideas are bad, but then again, there may be too much emphasis placed on the proper way to pray rather than on the blessings of prayer.
Amen.
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 Sometimes people have made prayer so complicated that after you've heard them speak or read their writings, you may decide prayer is just too difficult for you. But saints, prayer is simply talking to the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
It's simple, plain and simple. Not much different from a conversation you have with a good friend. You can use your own words, or you can borrow those written by others. You can argue with God, complain to God, cry out to God, praise God, plead with God, open your heart to God, and rest in God. You do that all in the same prayer even. After all, that is what is revealed to us when we read about prayer in the Old and New Testament. People are simply talking to God in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of places. Sometimes they're using words. Other times they're using tears or using their hands lifted with joy. There's that word again. Abraham negotiates with God during one prayer session. Moses spent a great deal of time complaining about the children of Israel in his prayer times. Hannah's tears become her prayer language. Jonah prayed out from the belly of a great fish. The early church prayed early church used worship as a way of praying. Ezra would pray with his face in the dirt. King Solomon would pray with his hands lifted high. The bottom line is that it is most important is simply praying. What's most important is simply praying.
Yes.
But I do believe that it's necessary that you and I be authentic in our prayers.
Yes.
Prayer is just opening our hearts to the Lord. Just being open, holding nothing back, speaking just to the Lord about anything and everything.
Hallelujah.
He wants to hear from us. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, amen.
He wants to hear from us and he wants to help us. I mean, now think about it. Are you and I going to surprise the Lord with our prayers? God knows us.
Yes.
He already knows our hearts and he can see inside your mind. Wow. He can handle our complaints. Just ask Job. Amen. He can handle our high-mindedness. Just ask the Apostle Paul. He can handle our broken hearts. Just ask Mary and Martha. He can handle our sins, our brokenness. Just ask King David. He can handle our fears and anxieties. Just ask Esther. Praying is talking to God. It's not always easy on our part. There's things we don't want to remember by speaking about them. And yet we grow in relationship with Him every time we get past that thing that stops us. It becomes easier and easier, folks, the more we pray, until our prayers just flow. It's part of breathing, part of life.
Amen. Amen.
If we don't pray often, then prayer seems to be awkward. But the closer our relationship with the Lord, the more we recognize that prayer is a conversation between two friends.
Hallelujah.
That's what it is.
Hallelujah.
Two friends that as they grow closer to one another, the lesser one, that would be us, amen, the lesser one, understands that we have been given such a powerful and wonderful gift by God.
Amen.
Amen. It's the gift of simple dialogue between us and our Father God, the creator and sustainer of the universe. It's the gift of intimate conversation with our Lord. It's the gift of sharing time and space with Almighty God. Now, this morning, in the passage that we read, Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, Paul is sharing with those believers about his personal prayer life. In these few verses, Paul lists some 12 things he considers important as he prays to these new Christians. 12 things. I'm not going all through to all 12. I just wanted to let you relax there, man. I want you to get the ones I am going through. I think it's interesting to note that according to most Bible scholars, there's a good chance that Paul was never able to visit this church in Colossae. There's a good evidence that it was one of Paul's disciples by the name of Epaphras that started the church. Funny name. Paul was writing to this church in an effort to help instruct them in the faith. Remember, he was the apostle. He was writing to teach them. At the time, Paul was sitting in a prison cell in Ephesus, soon to be on trial for his life. His purpose in writing was to encourage them in the faith and teach them more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know if Paul did in fact ever visit Colossae after he was released, but it is possible that he would have if he could have. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What we do know is that Paul's letter revealed how important the church was to him, his deep love and concern for them, and the assurance of his constant prayers to them. Paul's helping us recognize that there are needs for which we can pray for others, whether we know them or not.
Yes.
A lot of times we hear about somebody going through something, and it's easy to throw up a prayer about that one particular little subject, but they may need God in a lot more ways than just that one. Amen?
Amen.
Right. And you're the tool God wants to use.
Yes.
In them receiving their miracle.
Yes.
What we have here via Paul are important issues that we can bring to God concerning one another, our family, and our friends, and for all those we don't even personally know who are living all over the world. Now, this is where your paper comes in, taking notes. I want to consider three of these things that show us the way we should pray for others. The first one, we are to pray for one another's ability to hear God's voice clearly and accurately. When we pray for someone, we want them to hear God's voice, not necessarily our voice. To hear God's voice. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is concerned that this congregation possesses the ability to hear God's voice, to be able to hear God's voice clearly and accurately. Now, think about how vital it is to hear what someone is saying, to clearly understand what they are communicating. In fact, this is of supreme importance. That's why I bought some expensive hearing aids. It's terrible not to hear somebody.
Yes.
It's terrible. It's a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have this awful time understanding people's names. I'd say, "Who are you?" And they say, "I'm Babib." And, "Oh, yeah. Well, we're glad you're here." But hopefully now I can hear. You understand that point, folks?
Yeah. Yes.
It's terrible not to hear God's voice clearly. Jesus had a conversation in John chapter 10 about a shepherd knowing his sheep's voice, or the sheep knowing the shepherd's voice. And of course, he was using that at the time because the hills of Israel were filled with sheep. Kind of like the Old West, they were filled with cows. But in Israel, they had herds of sheep. Amen. They had abundance of sheep gatherings. Shepherds would join their flocks with other flocks so they could provide some additional protection and also companionship for the shepherd. They'd gather them all together, and for the most part, being a shepherd was a lonely and exhausting job. They would come and link up their flock of 20 or 50 or 100 sheep with someone else that had 20 or 50 or 100 sheep, and they would spend a little time together. And that's why it's so important that you and I get into God's Word. Wait a minute, I lost a page. It's still important we get into God's Word. But I got some more I want to tell you. It allowed for more eyes to watch the sheep, more security, and it gave the shepherd some new local news and information that he didn't possess. However, when it's necessary to leave, how do you separate all those sheep back into the individual herd? Shepherds would teach their sheep to obey certain commands. Amen? Certain words, certain sounds. Perhaps it was a whistle, a word, or noise that would prompt the sheep to follow the shepherd. They'd hear that noise, they'd hear that word, and they'd take off after that man. For that to happen, it's vital for the sheep to learn their shepherd's voice. If the sheep didn't learn to recognize the shepherd's voice, they could easily find themselves in danger from bears, from lions, and from other predators. The lives of the sheep depended on them being able to hear and obey the shepherd's voice.
Amen.
Your life depends on you being able to hear the shepherd's voice.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's vital that we hear God's voice.
Yes.
Amen. You getting the picture, folks? Amen?
Yes.
If we want to hear from the Lord, we must tune our hearts and minds and souls toward God and carefully listen for His voice. Listen. And this is why it's so important that you and I get into God's Word. When we read and study the Bible, we learn how to tune into the Word of God, His voice, what He says to us. We learn to recognize and understand God's voice, and you also learn and understand the devil's voice at the same time.
Yeah.
Be able
yeah.
to tell them apart.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul knew that being able to hear God's voice was vital. But for part of his life as a Jew, he had shut off God's voice. He didn't hear God's voice. He had meticulously read the scriptures. He had taken them great pains to adhere to all the rules and rituals and live by them. However, what Paul had done was tune his heart to, had not done was to tune his heart to truly hear God's voice. If he had, then he would have never held the coats of the soldiers while they stoned Stephen. Amen? He would have never persecuted the early church if he was able to hear God's voice. So what does Paul mean here? What's he sharing with the people of Colossae about how he regularly talks to the Lord about how they, the church, will be able to truly hear God's voice? In writing this to them, Paul is instructing them that they too should be praying to be able to hear God's voice.
Amen.
Now listen, folks, there's a Amen. World of difference between these two phrases. Thy will be changed, and thy will be done.
Oh boy.
Too often we spend our time praying, thy will be changed, when we ought to be praying, thy will be done. And folks, it's always to our best interest that his will be done.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. Right. And in order for his will to be done, we must listen. We must hear. And let's pray for one another so that we will tune our hearts and lives to hear His voice and follow His word. So number one, We need to hear God's voice.
Amen.
We need to pray for people to hear God's voice. You know, I think most people have some intelligence, and they can make up their own mind if God talks to them. Number two, Paul continues to pray that the people of Colossae develop the desire to live out a different life, a holy life. Paul continues to pray that the people of Colossae develop the desire to live out a different life, a holy life. The people of Colossae were not raised in either Judaism or Christianity. They were raised worshiping the gods and goddesses of the Greeks, the Romans, and the Egyptians, along with several mystery religions. As a result, the Colossians adopted a different mentality and a different set of behavioral and ethical standards. These standards were quite different than those held by the early church. For example, the physical human body for most Greeks, Romans, and Egyptians was something to worship and to adore. It was something to be put on public display in the town square, in different buildings, and even in the home. When they created their statues, often the images were displayed nude or without very much clothing. Y'all have seen pictures of that. When they held their athletic events, often those who would be competing would do so in the nude or again with very little clothing. What we would call immodest, the ancient Greeks, Romans, and Egyptians would call normal behavior. They believed that the more beautiful the physical body, the more people should be able to view that body and intimately share that body. The Apostle Paul understood this basic difference and many more other differences which he outlines in some of his other books. Some of those differences included things like inclination towards sexual promiscuity, the idea that one should regularly participate in as much physical intimacy as one could, and with as many different sexual partners as possible. The Corinthians were also an example of the same thought process. Other differences included idolatry, the practice of witchcraft, offering up infants or young children for human sacrifice, human trafficking along with everyday drunkenness, the use of filthy language and violence. And folks, it sounds like America has turned into Colossae.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
In contrast to all this behavior, the Apostle Paul wants the Colossians to live differently.
Yes.
To live differently. He wants them to allow the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them into a different way of living, behaving like people made in the image of the one true God, and to live in such a way as to honor God and honor one another. All of this reminds us of another person who spent years teaching the people how to live a new life. That, of course, was Moses of the Old Testament. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they understood very little about how to be a true follower of God. All those years of living in Egypt had led them to believe in all kinds of gods and goddesses and adopt many of the behavior and unethical habits of the Egyptians and the other cultures that surrounded them. Part of the most transformational chapters in the Old Testament are those that we find in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy, where the Lord God Almighty speaks extensively with Moses, who then shares with the children of Israel a new way of living. Jesus succinctly described this life in the following manner. Once a lawyer asked Jesus, "What is the most important of all the commandments?" Jesus answered, "The most important is the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole mind and with your whole strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these." When these commandments, loving God, loving oneself, and loving others are put into daily practice, they become the ingredients to living a holy life, folks. When you love God, when you love yourself, and when you love others, you're going to be close to walking in that holy life. All you need is Jesus on top of that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that is the rub, for it takes connecting with God. This is the problem people have doing this. It takes connecting with God and then connecting with others for us to be able to live out this new life in Christ. You're not the Lone Ranger, and you've never been, and never
Amen.
Will be.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Consider what Paul writes to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Okay, all of this leads us to the third prayer request. The third prayer request. Paul prays for the Colossians to allow the Holy Spirit to give them power to live differently. Paul prays for the Colossians to allow the Holy Spirit to give them power to live differently. Now, I know you have an answer to this question. Have you ever tried to stop a habit?
No.
Have you ever attempted to change your mind about something? If you have, then you know that it requires a tremendous amount of willpower to stop doing something, thinking about something, or feeling something in a particular way. Paul understood how difficult it was to suddenly turn your life around. From the time we see Paul coming to faith in Acts chapter 9 and then going out to work among the early church, we must realize that several years had passed. Several years. Paul didn't go from persecuting the church to leading Sunday school in a matter of days or weeks.
That's right. Amen.
He knew that what he was experiencing in Christ was a total shift in everything he had been doing, thinking, and feeling. Paul was aware that it would take some time to reset everything. Amen.
Right.
Thankfully, he had Barnabas and others that helped him in his transition from a persecutor to a missionary. It wasn't by accident that Paul would write to the churches some very important things. I want us to read these together as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Read it with me, folks. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Read this with me. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Verse 25. "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Verse 26. "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, Verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. One more. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, not under these restrictions. Paul had been enlightened concerning the changes that needed to take place in his life, but he was also aware that those at Colossae who read his letter must be transformed as well. It would be a difficult process for many of them. So Paul prayed that these new Christians would seek the Lord for power and strength. Power and strength. He prayed that they would continue to seek the Lord for correction, reproof, guidance, comfort, encouragement, and progress. The walk of a Christ follower does not end when we come to faith.
Amen.
When you become a Christian, the walk just begins.
That's it.
Amen. Amen. The walk of a Christ follower is one that is ongoing. It is a lifelong adventure. With each step, we grow closer to the Lord. Amen. With each step, we keep our minds and hearts on the things that are above and not on things in the earth. With each step, we strive to be more like Jesus and less like the world. But to do that will require some help. Help that comes from God above and the Holy Spirit inside, together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. That's why the apostle wrote such passages as Ephesians 4:32. He said, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And he wrote Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses.
Yes.
For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This morning, Paul wants you to understand you have this wonderful gift called prayer.
Yes.
Prayer. You are to use this gift to grow closer to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And you are to use this gift to help others. Praise God. All too often we find ourselves praying for people's health, their finances, their jobs, their families, and even for some to come to the faith. Those are meaningful prayers, folks, and we're not putting those down. People have certain needs, and we can pray for them. The Lord loves it. The Lord loves it. But here the apostle wants us to go a few more steps forward. This morning he wants us to go forward.
Yes.
To first pray for ourselves as well as for others, to be able to hear God's voice.
Amen.
Hear God's voice. Let us pray that we will all be able to ignore the noise of the world and tune into what God wants for our lives. That's first, to hear God's voice. Secondly, pray for ourselves and others to be able to change. To be able to change, to grow in our walk with the Lord. To continually allow the Lord to renew our minds, strengthen our hearts, and to walk in what we refer to as progressive holiness, which is becoming more and more like Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes,
grow. Change. Take us from where we are to where you want us to be, Lord. Take us from where we are to where you want us to be. Don't leave us alone. Change us. Change us. Most of us have testimonies where people wouldn't like us if they knew us years ago, but we have changed. we have turned into more Christ-like individuals. And the third thing, and to pray for ourselves and others to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit so that we do not only hear God's voice, but we become spiritually transformed. In James chapter 4, verse 2, we read these little but also powerful words. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask.
Yes.
You do not have because you do not ask. Sometimes we don't see growth in our own lives or in the lives of others because we're not asking God to help us and others, to understand Him better, to be able to hear His voice clearly. Amen? In fact, we may have never realized that we need to pray such prayers. Sometimes we don't see growth in our own lives or in the lives of others because we're not asking God to help us to grow our or their walk. We're not asking God to prune us and others so that we become more fruitful. We're not asking God to help us and others become more like Jesus. We're not asking Him to change. And finally, we don't see growth in our own lives or in the lives of others because we're not asking God to help us.
Amen.
Not asking God to give us more power, experience more power, more of the Holy Spirit, more of the Godhead that lives within us, more of the abundant life. Amen. Paul teaches us a great deal in his letters, and this morning let's put what we've seen here in the passage into practice. Let's pray for ourselves and our others to hear God's voice more clearly, to be able to change our lives for the better, to love Him, ourselves, and others more and more, and become more and more like Jesus, and then finally to have more power to do His will.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Not change His will, to do His will.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And this has been a little different, me sitting on the stool this morning. I can feel it, that it's been different. But folks, this is a powerful message.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. Let's stand together.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we just thank You for this message. Lord, now we know how to pray for ourselves and we know how to pray for others. Lord, we thank You for all the books and teachings and messages and things that are about prayer and how they've helped us. But Lord, there's three simple things that will do the trick. We pray for them. If we pray them into people's lives and our own. Lord, I wouldn't want to walk in that parking lot without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to ever not hear Your voice, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
To know Your will for me. And Lord, if there's an area in my life that needs to change, I invite You to change me. When I go to heaven, I want it to be one step over a lion. An easy step. I don't want to be crawling and scratching and fighting. I just want to walk into Your glory, Lord. So while I'm down here, if there's something that needs changing, Lord, please change me. A lot of junk had been in my life. things I put there myself that just hang on.
Hallelujah.
And I want them gone, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Come and cleanse your people. Cleanse your people.
And Lord, that prayer I believe is for everyone here.
Thank you, God. Help us to be able to pray for ourselves.
Take us from where we are to where you want us to be, Lord.
Yes, Lord God. On a journey. On track, Lord.
I'm not talking about where you want us to be at the end of time. We got time to get there. But Lord, where you want us to be today.
Yes.
Today, what's the change I need to make today?
Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father.
Lord, this is a day of joy.
Hallelujah.
Let us be joyous over where we've come from.
Thank you, God.
Let us be joyous over where we've been and where we are today. But Lord, there's still more.
Yes. Yes.
There's still more. This is a continual walk with you, Lord Jesus. And we'll never be at the end of that until we cross into glory. But Lord, take us to where you want us today. And we give you praise. Give you glory. Lord, tomorrow's going to come. And you got something for us tomorrow.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And the next day.
Hallelujah. Keep on the path, God.
Take us from where we are to where you want us to be, Lord. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I love y'all. God bless you.
I love you.
God bless you.